News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Well, listen, folks, I've been telling you for days. There's a lot of angst, with me about the Biden administration. How long can this go on? Is he capable of running the nation? He does not appear to be. I mean, when you watch the press conferences, nothing inspires confidence. He looks like he is just like either angry or beaten down or both, and stumbles through his words, struggles to read the teleprompter, says things that aren't true, literally aren't true, that then his staff has to come back out later and sort of clean up. He tells you he's not allowed to answer questions or that he's been told who he can ask questions from. I mean, things like that do not inspire at all, but they do not inspire in terms of leadership. But I've been saying, though, at the same time, I know you're frustrated. I know you are, but you've got to understand the realities of where we are. Make sure you're working within the constraints of what we have, and that I don't see the true viability of the 25th Amendment. And I've been saying that. I don't see that we're going to get anywhere by asking his own cabinet to sign up for a 25th Amendment call of his, question of his authority, because they would have to admit they've been propping him up. And they're probably not going to do that because it makes them look really bad. I've also been saying it's going to be really difficult right now in the midst of a Democrat-controlled House and Senate for the next year, we hope, no less, or no more, that it's going to be really hard to see the possibilities of impeachment. Because good luck getting articles of impeachment offered or referred by the House when Nancy Pelosi's in charge to a Senate where Kamala Harris is in charge. Good luck. So that being said, I was talking to Charlene this morning, and she actually even said, well, maybe time to soften that position a little bit. Because I also said at some point, the only thing that could make that change is if new information began to come out. And it's looking like some new information could be coming out. Because when you begin to see the rats jumping ship, when you begin to see things unraveling in a public eye, then you go, oh, wait a minute. Maybe there's more to this story that we can work with. And I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I do pray for the office of the presidency, and I pray for Joe Biden. I don't wish ill upon the man, but I do not wish ill upon this nation. And right now, I believe his leadership is ill for the nation. But listen to this. Here's the new thing. Here's the thing that started this thought process that Charlene put me on this morning, and it's true. Is it a crack in the armor? Well, just the other day, who was it was asking this? I think it was Greg Gutfeld. I think I even said on the show. Greg Gutfeld asked, what happened to all the anonymous reporting? Remember that? Back when Trump was in. Oh, that's what it was. Gutfeld said the other day, he said, if Trump broke wind, there'd be five anonymous sources telling you what the decibel levels were. So all said and done, what he's saying is there was constant sourcing of things and comments that a lot of times weren't even true or didn't have validity, but they were just somebody trying to jab at him. Well, sometimes, though, things happen like what happened today. Story came out. Reuters got an exclusive. The excerpts from the last call between President Joe Biden and President Ashraf Ghani, the former president of Afghanistan. And Biden, he repeatedly claims nobody could have possibly known the Afghan army would collapse. And yet we now have what they're calling a bombshell transcript from 1 month, really, prior to about 3 weeks prior to the fall of Kabul, where it appears in their conversations, they knew where it was headed. Biden told Ghani during that conversation that the perception was the fight against the Taliban was not going well. And he said something to the effect, which I'll read the quote here in a minute, that we need to project a different picture. Project a different picture? Well, what he was saying was, look, man, help me out here. My polling numbers are going down. And the comments are an indication that Biden knew it was a matter of time before the Taliban won, and it was only 4 weeks later the Taliban actually captured Kabul. The call took place on July 23rd. Remember, Kabul fell on roughly August 14th. But Biden repeated, even as of yesterday, President Biden repeated yesterday, his assertion that his team was caught flat-footed by the rapid Taliban takeover of the country. I mean, literally, In that call, 4 weeks before Kabul fell, President Ghani was on the phone call in the transcript pleading with the President of the United States for more air support, didn't want to lose his air support, and he said he was having trouble paying his soldiers who had not received a pay raise in a decade. And then President Biden's response was, quote, according to the transcript, "I need not tell you the perception around the world and in parts of Afghanistan, I believe, is that things are not going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban," Biden said. "And there is a need, whether it's true or not, to project a different picture." You hear what I'm saying? Well, keep in mind, I'm reading you a maddening set of quotes, but these maddening set of quotes are a chink in the armor because it says clearly in the article, this was sourced from an anonymous source by Reuters. This was a transcript the public has never seen. This is a direct contradiction to everything that the president said even as recently as yesterday. When asked this is after that phone call, the president was asked if the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan was inevitable. The president responded, no, it is not. And it did. But if you hear their conversation or you look at the transcripts, you go, oh, they did know. In fact, at one point in the conversation, President Ghani told President Biden he was not just facing the Taliban, but all of their foreign backers. And the quote was, "We're facing a full-scale invasion composed of Taliban, full Pakistani planning and logistical support, and at least 10 to 15,000 international terrorists, mostly Pakistanis, being thrown into this," he said. And he asked for the close air support to be front-loaded so they could continue to fight the fight. I'm just telling you. And then later on that same day, apparently we got a transcript of another call. This was among the cabinet, the military advisors, National Security Advisor Jake Doogie Howser Sullivan, General Mark Milley, and Central Command Commander General Frank McKenzie. Milley went on to say that we need to try and turn this negative perception around, meaning we got to do something because it's not going well. And McKenzie added in that narrative, he said, "I do not believe that time is our friend here. We need to move quickly." And neither McKenzie nor Milley's staff could be reached for comment. So, folks, what I'm telling you is this. There was a lot going on. President Biden knew a lot more than what he was letting on. I assume he remembers it. I assume his staff remembers it. Guess what? I think they do remember it because the leaks are beginning now. People are beginning to say, okay, you know what? I'm not taking the fall for this. Somebody's got to tell the world what actually happened. And in this case, you know, we got a transcript. Copper, I tell you what, let's get clip four ready. So General Jack Keane, this is going to be a little bit long of a clip, about a minute and a half. But I want you to hear General Jack Keane. Actually, it's almost 2 minutes. General Jack Keane, who is still one of my favorite military analysts, he gives you, and by the way, he's pretty emotional about it. He gives you a full-blown assessment of his inside knowledge, even to the point that he had actually sat down and talked with members of the Biden team who sought his advice. He says at one part in the interview, not sure it's in this clip or not, but we're going to listen to it. I'll tell you what, let me quit talking. Clip four, Copper, go ahead and play it.
One, it is a fact that the president blew off the military advisors and his intelligence advisors about withdrawing out of Afghanistan. They wanted to stay. The CIA director said, if the Taliban takes over, the significant risk to the United States will be there because of safe havens now back in Afghanistan. So that's true today. That's the risk we have today, out of the mouth of a CIA director. As it pertains to President Trump, well, I didn't agree with him, his people negotiating with the Taliban. He's blowing off the fact, while yes, there was a date certain, 1 May, but it was based on what? It was based on conditions. The Taliban had to do what? I read the 4-page document that Zal Khalilzai, the ambassador who negotiated that deal, when it was a draft document. I read it in a hotel in Washington, D.C., just him and me. And I told him it was a surrender document. But here were the conditions. The conditions were reject Al-Qaeda, enter into a partner-sharing arrangement with the leaders in Kabul. Neither one of those conditions were met, despite the fact that the government in Kabul was forced to give up 5,000 prisoners. So if those conditions were not met, Biden looked at that and just blew those conditions off, just like he blew off the military advice and his intelligence advice, and then set an arbitrary date of 31 August. And what did that do? That denied the Afghan security forces getting intelligence and robust air support to stop the major offensive, which was already ongoing. He's blowing all of that off, misrepresenting what took place, and again, denigrating the Afghan security forces, who suffered 66,000 casualties over these 20 years, 45,000 of which when we stopped ground combat operations. As to the evacuation itself, it was a huge mistake. And that commander who has been identified prominently on Fox, Major General Chris Donahue.
All right. He went on, by the way, to brag on Chris Donahue, Major General Donahue. So don't think he was about to say that guy screwed it up. What he's saying is, you know, that guy was the last one to get on the plane. He was the last man out. He was the leader, and he was the last man to step off the ground onto the plane. That being said, the rest of what he was talking about is exactly what I was saying. President Biden had far more information at his hands, and the information is beginning to chink out. The armor is chinked right now. It's like there's a hole in the dike, all right? And so what we're seeing here, yes, while I am very pragmatic, that you're going to see any kind of action taken to remove him from the presidency in the next year, what I do believe is starting to happen is people are not content to let him continue to point fingers and deny any knowledge and pretend that he was advised accordingly, when they know he wasn't. And you're hearing right there General Jack Keane, who knew some of these people personally, who consulted with him about the draftings of the original agreements that he now says that President Biden said he had to stick with. He had to follow the Trump plan. Well, he didn't follow any other Trump plan. He rejected every other thing that had Trump's name on it. He issued 60-some-odd executive orders for the sole purpose of reversing the Trump administration's activities. But this one he had to stick with. Well, it wasn't even the same plan. General Keane said he sat in a hotel room reviewing the plan and gave them commentary on it. And what happened was not the plan. And what we're seeing here is that he literally blew off all the facts, blew off his advisors. And now what we see in this transcript that broke free today is he even blew off the president of Afghanistan, who was telling him what he had to have to survive. And President Biden wouldn't do it. All right, folks, we're headed to a short break. I'm going to fill you in on a couple more things. You're going to be curious about this. Hey, who's asking for who to resign right now? That's kind of curious. And then one of the stories that boggles my mind, like I cannot figure out how this even comes to be. You're going to be amazed who is still stuck in Afghanistan right now. I don't mean like a little bit. Like, this will make your head spin. All right, folks. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WBNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, folks, listen, I got to tell you real quickly about my friends at ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions, I mean, those, I know them personally. They're solid. And they have been putting people back to work all over Alabama and doing an amazing job at it. A lot of folks right now need jobs. Well, they've got them. Go to the website, ZLAUSA.com. A lot of folks, though, employers need to fill out their workforce. Well, that's what they do. They can recruit. They can do all the background checks, the drug testing, everything, and staff you up. They take care of it for you. Go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. I'm just telling you, they do it well, and they are doing it all over Alabama. Check them out, ZLAUSA.com. They like to say at ZLA Solutions, we don't make it. We just make it better. ZLAUSA.com. All right. I said I was going to go into some stories. I got to wrap up one thing, though, because just got a text in. Thank you to Josh, who sent me this story. Talk about anonymous sources. Just broke in the last couple of hours, I'm seeing. Yep, last couple of hours, an anonymous source within the White House has told Politico that the White House is officially appalled and literally horrified, that's the quote, appalled and literally horrified that Biden stranded Americans in Afghanistan. You know, President Biden's been defending that. And you know, Jen Psaki drives me crazy. But then again, I wouldn't want her job right now, to be honest with you. How do you spin this stuff? How do you stand up there every day with a straight face? And I saw her today, by the way, and she's got circles under her eyes. She looks like she's had a rough week. And I'm just saying, can you imagine? So the quote is, absolutely appalled and literally horrified we left Americans there, the official said. It was a hostage rescue of thousands of Americans in the guise of a non-combatant evacuation operation, and we have failed that no-fail mission. That's a direct quote, an anonymous source. Folks, I'm going to tell you, when they start breaking ranks like that, you begin to question how much longer that can go on. This is a big, hairy deal. And as this big, hairy deal unfolds, let me tell you something. Where's the accountability? If you heard the show yesterday, we had the honor of interviewing Mike Durant. Mike Durant was a retired chief warrant officer IV who flew with the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, most famous for the fact that he was in the Battle of Mogadishu. His Black Hawk Super 6-4 was one of the two that was shot down in what became known as the Black Hawk Down incident. Mike was held prisoner for a period of time. Anyway, he was on. One of the things he talked about was needing accountability. Where is the accountability? Well, right now there's a group of ex-military officers that are calling for both Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and General Milley to both resign over the Afghanistan debacle. Article I'm holding in my hands right now. I got paper. Dozens of retired generals and admirals have called on Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley to step down, accusing them of negligence in connection with the disastrous U.S. troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. The signatories all claim membership in a group called Flag Officers for America, and they claim that Austin and Milley, here's the quote, should have recommended against this dangerous withdrawal in the strongest possible terms. If they did not do everything within their authority to stop the hasty withdrawal, they should resign. But they also go on to say, if they did recommend it strongly and their advice was not heeded, they should resign anyway in deference to the fact that their advice was not heeded and people died. That's strong, y'all. That's very strong. And this is a large group of flag officers being admirals and generals. Some of the more famous ones in here, Navy Rear Admiral John Poindexter, who's a former National Security Advisor for President Reagan. Representative, now Congressman, Ronnie Jackson, who's a former Navy Rear Admiral and the White House physician. Retired Army Brigadier General Donald Bolduc, a Republican candidate to represent New Hampshire in the U.S. Senate next year. And then on and on. So listen, it's a group of them, 87 signatories in all, asking for resignations. Accountability. I mean, accountability matters. But I do agree with the point. If you gave that strong advice and it was not heeded, maybe you should resign in deference to the fact that it was not heeded and people died. But here's the other thing, though. All right. Talking about who's still over there. So the anonymous source in the article I quoted you a moment ago before I went to the generals literally said, oh, did I run out of time already? Literally said, we left Americans there. There's a group of 24 Sacramento high school students still stranded in Afghanistan. Why were they on a trip to Afghanistan for their summer trip? I have no idea. Why are they not out? Even better question. 24 Sacramento area students are confirmed now to be stranded in Afghanistan as the turmoil continues. This is updated as of 1:25 yesterday afternoon. And you're not hearing much about this story, but it's legit. And I guarantee you, Mr. President, they want out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back after the top of the hour break.